Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live from the railing of the upper deck in Buffalo's Ralph Wilson Stadium, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. Jana, a.k.a. Jana Kim, Kimmel, and the Sherpa, a.k.a. Scott Swaney. We're here with you each and every Wednesday night. Jana, how are you this week?
I'm good. How about you? Cowboys were on a bye week, so nothing bad could happen.
No, but this week they're playing the Giants, so plenty bad can happen, but we'll get to that.
So let's
start off with a little debate that we had last week about the Chiefs. I think we both agreed that there wasn't much chance of them winning that game, but what do you think? Have they been exposed to the fraud now? Or are they going to end the season with 9 wins, or do you think they're going to get their acts back and together and end up as a playoff team and do some damage? What do you think their prognosis is?
I don't think they got exposed as a fraud. I mean, I don't think they're also going to end the season with 9 wins. I think they'll get their act together. They still have a good defense. They're not a bad team. Denver just is on another level. It's the first time they let anybody score more than 17 points on them, and keeping Denver to only 27 was not terrible. So I'm not as down on the Chiefs as everybody else is.
Well, I'm a lifelong Chiefs supporter. You know, they're probably my second favorite team behind the Giants, and I just, I look and I'm not that impressed, especially with their offense. Yeah, the defense, sure, 27 points against Peyton Manning, that's a great effort, but it's hard to win games when you're not scoring. So, but we'll see. Lots of interesting stuff. The Carolina New England game, of course, that ended on a controversial call. But what did you think of that one?
I don't know if I agree with picking up the flag. I thought maybe it would have been fine letting it stand. I thought a couple of things got a little too touchy-feely in the end zone there, and it's hard to say that a ball's uncatchable for a receiver who's a giant and makes acrobatic catches regularly, especially when there's a defender with both arms wrapped around him. I don't know if I totally believe we can say without a doubt that Rob Gronkowski had no shot at that ball had he been free and uninhibited, I guess you could say. Sherpa's not going to be adding to this debate since he dropped off. he is currently in New York City where cell coverage can be a little spotty, so he'll join back up with us in just a minute. In the meantime, if you want to have your voice heard throughout the show, you have plenty of ways to do that. We'll be here for an hour till 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week. You can always call us at 347-989-8088. That's 347-989-8088. You can always tweet us at the number 4 THN Inches Show. That's the number 4 THN Inches Show. You can also find us at fantasy_Sherpa and JKIM16. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. You can email us at the number 4 THN Inches Show at gmail.com. As always, the chat room is open on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find us all week long at fantasyfootballsherpa.com. There's always good stuff on the blog there. And this week, it's not great for the byes, but it's better than having 6 teams off. We have 4 teams on a bye this week: Buffalo, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and Seattle, which means you are for sure down some pretty decent little defenses, some wide receivers, and a couple of running backs and quarterbacks for sure. So we'll be sure to help you pick up guys on the waiver wire and to tell you who to start and sit this week. Right, Sherpa?
Zach Miller's out this week, too. Just wanted to throw that in there.
I appreciate that, as always, since we are such huge Zach Miller sympathizers.
Scott Chandler, they're actually – probably enough about the tight ends, but so did you already tell people how they can get in touch with us?
I did in your absence, so we can jump right into the games.
All right, well, we've got the Thursday night special. We've both grown to know and love Thursday night games for their unpredictability this week. So this week we've got a game that should have been good on paper at least 3 months ago. That's New Orleans and Atlanta. Unfortunately, New Orleans has reestablished themselves as one of the top teams in the NFC, while Atlanta has established themselves as one of the worst teams
terrible.
In the NFC South. So as predicted, they lost to Tampa Bay last week. But anyway, you know, Thursday night, craziness aside, I just don't see this game ending in an upset. I think New Orleans continues marching along their path to victory. Atlanta keeps marching along their path to what looks like it'll probably be a top-five draft pick right now. I'll say New Orleans wins this. Double of enough on Atlanta. I'll say New Orleans 34, Atlanta 72.
I think this is probably a double-digit win for New Orleans. Can you imagine how filthy this Atlanta team could be with a top-five draft pick next season and having healthy Julio Jones and Roddy White? They could be a scary good team.
Depends what they use it on. They probably should use it on either defense or the offensive line, but we'll see.
That's no fun.
Actually, a running back, they don't want to spend a top-five pick on a running back, but from all appearances, it doesn't really look like Steven Jackson has a lot left of the tank at age 30.
No. Too many hits in St. Louis. Too many miles in the tire. But
too many miles on the
Unfortunately, Atlanta does not have their top five draft pick or healthy wide receivers this week. They are still awful.
Actually, you know what
definitely...
I was just thinking? I wonder if they even would have a top five draft pick. I'll bet they gave it away in the Julio Jones trade.
Ooh, maybe. Man, that sucks.
That would be sad.
Poor Atlanta.
Well,
I just want to give them a hug.
Well,
but,
maybe they don't
if, for your fantasy team, definitely a lot of reason to like Saints players this week. Even though it's a Thursday night game and weird stuff always happens, I think you can still safely start Drew Brees, Pierre Thomas, even Mark Ingram and Darren Sproles getting wild. Everyone's going to be catching passes. They seem to be trying to spread out the run game. It's just a matter of if someone screws up, which tends to happen, they're going to see less of the field. So they kind of go with the hot hand. It feels like the running backs have turned into more of a musical chairs game than the wide receivers are now, which it used to be the other way around. As far as wide receivers go, I like Marquise Colson, Robert Meacham. I'm definitely starting tight end Jimmy Graham, who pretty much has an injury to every part of his body, but somehow still catches two touchdowns every game. So I'm cool with that. I am staying away from both the kicker and the defense, though.
You think Atlanta's defense is going to, offense is going to put up enough points to make New Orleans' defense a bad start?
Not necessarily. I'm kind of more on the bubble with them, but I think there are better defensive matchups.
Okay. So for Atlanta, Tony Gonzalez, he's questionable with a toe injury, but he's really the only guy that I really like this week for Atlanta. Quarterback Matt Ryan is the second quarterback for me. He's been a huge disappointment. I thought he was going to be the top quarterback in fantasy this year. That obviously
hasn't worked
out.
We had such high expectations for this team.
We did. But wide receiver Harry Douglas, questionable with a knee injury. New Orleans, pretty good pass defense, so I would rate him as the best flex option this week. Running back Steven Jackson, unfortunately, I think he's ending near the end of his useful life as a fantasy option. I would not start him this week. Jacquizz Rodgers, don't start him. Wide receiver Roddy White, probable with his shoulder injury, but I would not start him. Kicker Matt Ryan in the defense, ixnayed him as well.
Yeah, poor Atlanta.
Yeah. So why don't we move on to the Sunday games then? And the first of the Sunday games is an interesting matchup between two teams that at the beginning of the season looked like they were going to be horrible, and then they've showed signs of life and signs of being horrible. But anyway, Pittsburgh at Cleveland, I guess the good news is that both these teams are, at least in theory, still in the running for that second AFC wild card.
Mathematically, yeah.
Because, right now, I guess the Jets, even as mediocre as they are at 5-5, there's a bunch of teams sitting at 4-6 or so that, we still have a chance.
I mean, aren't there only six teams in the whole AFC with a winning record right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah, for some reason I thought the Jets would have been the sixth team right now, and I think they're only 5-5. But anyway, there's a good chance that a team that's sub 500 now will sneak in and get that second wild card spot. These two teams are possible for that, but we'll see. Yeah. Pittsburgh looking better as of late. Cleveland, good defense. Offense. They have no running game whatsoever. They've only scored one rushing touchdown all year. Actually, interestingly enough, Houston. Everybody thought they would have such a huge running game this year. Arian Foster was a little bit questionable, but, you know, without him, Ben Tate, they have two rushing touchdowns this year. That's just, that blows my mind. But anyway, back to the game at hand here, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Close game, flip a coin. I think it could go either way, but I think Pittsburgh's got a little bit more talent and they're a little bit better team right now. I'll pick Pittsburgh to win this by a field goal. I'll pick Pittsburgh 17, Cleveland 14.
I'm going to take Cleveland for the mini upset here. Not on a whole lot other than my gut. And I think the Cleveland defense will cause Big Ben some problems. If Cleveland had a run game, that would be great. Unfortunately, they don't, like you said. So it's gonna. I think it's going to take a big stand from their defense to help them win this game. But I think it's doable. This is going to be one of those weirdo AFC North games where nobody scores any points and it's just three and outs and defensive stands left and right. But I don't know. I think Cleveland will pull it off. Fantasy-wise for the Steelers, though, I'm okay starting Big Ben as well as Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Jericho Cotchery. I am going to start the defense, even though I think they're going to lose the game, because this is not going to be high-scoring by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I think Cleveland, the way that they win this game, if they win it, that they probably need a touchdown from their defense or special teams because I just don't think, I mean, their strength, if you can call it that on offense, is their pass game, but that plays into Pittsburgh's defensive strength. So something's got to give there, but we'll see. So for Cleveland, I would start wide receiver Josh Gordon and tight end Jordan Cameron, the two guys that are basically telling me to start all season on Cleveland. Start the defense. Quarterback Jason Campbell, probable with his rib injury. I think he's at best a second quarterback option. I wouldn't start any of the running backs. That includes Willis McGahee, Chris Ogbonnaya, and Fozzie Whitaker. And wide receivers Devon Best and Greg Little, stay away from them. And I don't like kicker Billy Cundis this week either. Excuse me, I've never met him. I don't like his matchup is what I meant to say. He might be a perfectly nice guy for all I know.
Well, apparently not on the Fourth and Inches show.
Well, we probably won't be having him on as a guest anytime soon. So,
I'm thinking he's
welcome to come on. So, anyway, moving right along, we've got the hottest team in football right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, playing at Detroit. Detroit, you know, they always get the Thanksgiving Day game, and I think traditionally they usually play at home the week before Thanksgiving too, so they're playing at home against Tampa this week. Tampa, I think the music runs out for them. I think Detroit, you know, they lost to Pittsburgh on the road. I think they'll get their act together at home. I'll pick them to win, not by much, but I'll say that Detroit wins this 28-24 and reclaims the top spot in the NFC North this week.
I agree with you. I think Detroit's kind of finding a little bit of a rhythm. I don't know. They look less disjointed than they did to start the year. Tampa did sort of upset Atlanta last week, as we predicted. Granted, it was a few weeks past my original prediction for it, but it ultimately came true. And they are looking much less chaotic on the football field. I just don't know if they have enough to beat Detroit in Detroit. But I think they will still at least make an attempt. They're not going to roll over and die, which is good. I like Mike Glennon more as a second quarterback option. Definitely going to start Bobby Rainey. Kind of a surprise at running back, but it's working out for him, so keep riding the hot hand. Starting Vincent Jackson and Tyquan Underwood, but I'm staying away from tight end, kicker, defense, most of the Tampa Bay offense.
Yeah, I'm not as keen on Rainey. I mean, I think it's a really cool story. You know, Doug Martin goes down, they put in Mike James, he has a good game, goes down, you know, you think it's going to be Brian Leonard, and then it's Bobby Rainey going nuts, but, you know,
well,
the rush game.
I like Bobby Rainey more this week because of the teams that are on byes. You're going to need a running back, but maybe if this isn't a bye week, it wouldn't be as nice of a matchup, but I like him as a fill-in this week.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Detroit, if they have a strength on defense, it's their run defense, so we'll see. Something's got to give there, but we'll see how that goes. So if he has a good game, they could well win this game. We'll see. Detroit, I would start quarterback Matthew Stafford, running back Reggie Bush, wide receivers Calvin Johnson and Chris Durham. tight end Brandon Pettigrew, more of a flex option for me. Kicker David Akers is okay. Defense is okay. Stay away from Joyke Bell. He's questionable with that ankle injury. Even if he plays, I doubt he's at full speed. Wide receiver Nate Burleson, probably not going to be back this week. And Joseph Poria had a nice run for a few weeks, but he's been missing in action the last couple weeks, so I would say he's not worth starting either.
Yeah, I mean, he was the man to start the year, and then it just, he fell off the face of the planet, it feels like.
Yeah, it's too bad. And somewhere Tony Scheffler is crying, but anyway.
Poor Tony.
So on to the next game, Minnesota at Green Bay. Usually you would think, well, you know, the Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers and Minnesota has Adrian Peterson. It'll be ground versus air. But right now, both these teams are somewhat in disarray. Minnesota, because of their quarterback situation, you know, not because of injury. They just haven't been getting good play there, no matter whether it's Christian Ponder or Matt Castle or Josh Freeman in there. And Green Bay, obviously, this is Aaron Rodgers. Although Scott Foldeen acquitted himself rather well with the 300-plus yards last week, but the three interceptions.
Very admirable.
The three interceptions are what set him back. I think this is a close game, but I think ultimately Green Bay has just a little bit too much. They finally have a run game, and I think Scott Foldeen will be accurate enough that they'll win this. I'm kind of curious to see whether Cordarrelle Patterson continues his emergence for Minnesota, but I think it all still adds up to Green Bay 28, Minnesota 21.
I agree with you. I think just the whole quarterback situation is Minnesota's basically kryptonite here. They're not a bad team when you plug a real quarterback in and they have some consistency. I feel like this is a team that could really succeed. Unfortunately, they don't have that guy right now. It looks like Christian Ponder is going to get the start this week. He started last week but got pulled because he was playing terribly and Matt Castle relieved him. So obviously, if you're trying to start a Minnesota quarterback, you could really flip a coin here. Christian Ponder will start the game. Whether or not he finishes it is a whole other issue. Clearly, they aren't going to be afraid to pull the trigger is what last week's told us. But I do think Scott Tolzien's going to be more comfortable at home. He's got a couple of starts under his belt, and I think he'll be a little more careful with the football this week. But I do think Minnesota's going to put some points up, so any quarterback you're trying to start from Minnesota, only use it as a second quarterback option. I like Adrian Peterson, Jarius Wright, and Greg Jennings. Cordarrelle Patterson I like more as a flex option. I'm not quite as sold on him just yet. I am going to start the Blair Walsh project, but I'm staying away from the defense.
You didn't mention my favorite fill-in tight end, John Carlson.
I'm not feeling John Carlson this week. I think you got better tight ends out there.
He's had two good games in a row. I will see. But for Green Bay, I would start quarterback Scott Tolzien, running back Eddie Lacy, wide receivers Jared Boykin and Jordy Nelson. Start the defense. Wide receiver James Jones, more of a flex option for me. Kicker Mason Crosby is okay, and I would stay away from tight end Anthony Corliss.
They're talking about Aaron Rodgers is trying to play in the Thanksgiving game next week. That could be interesting.
Yeah, my guess is that even if he does, he would be at full strength. And if Detroit's not known for taking clean shots at people, so I think that might not be a smart idea for them. But I think a lot of it will depend on whether they win this game or not. If they win this game and they're still in the thick of the playoff hunt, then they're probably more apt to play him, but we'll see. So,
I agree.
Jacksonville at Houston is the next game up. Jacksonville looking a little bit better the last couple weeks. Houston somehow lost to Oakland this past week. Still, I don't think this game is close. I think this is just a real mismatch, at least on paper. I know they don't play games on paper. They play them on grass or turf. But Jacksonville, I just don't see how they can hang with Houston in this game. I'll pick Houston to win this in a route, I'll say Houston 35, Jacksonville 10.
Wow, I like Houston by double digits, but that's aggressive. A little aggressive for me. it's hard to argue. Houston needs to win this game. Houston needs to win a lot of games. If there's really no way you can explain how any Jeff Fisher should have, anybody should have a job or anybody on the roster should be starting if you're going to go and lose to Jacksonville at home. Fantasy-wise, for the Jags this week, pretty slim pickings. Chad Henne's really only a second quarterback option and a deeper one at that. I'm okay starting Maurice Jones-Drew and Cecil Shorts, but that's it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether Gary Kubiak
still employed.
Survives. Well, hopefully he survives, period. But, I
that would be
wonder
good.
Whether – yeah, that would be a good start. But, as far as coaching the team next year, I'm not so sure about that. The quarterback situation is a mess there. At this point, I think Matt Schaub probably needs a fresh start somewhere else. Yeah, I think he's capable of being a winning quarterback, but if for whatever reason the things just aren't working out there, it's probably time for him to move on. Case Keenum, I don't know. I don't want them to draft Johnny Football, but we'll see what they end up doing. But anyway, for Houston this week, I like whoever's the quarterback for them. Probably going to be Case Keenum, but just in case it's Matt Schaub, that's fine too. Running back Ben Tate, I like. Wide receivers DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson, I like. Tight end Garrett Graham had a great game last week. Start him again this week. Kicker Randy Bullock, the defense. Pretty much anybody that starts and wears a Houston uniform is worth putting in your fantasy lineup this week.
If your neighbor's wearing a Houston jersey, you could probably start him at this point.
Well, he'd probably get just as many points as Maurice Jones-Drew would, but that's beside the point.
Maybe.
So, all right, shall we move on to the next matchup? Another version of As the World Turns with the New York Jets. The roller coaster season continues this week. They take their show on the road to Baltimore. I don't see how they can lose that game at Buffalo last week and take themselves seriously as a playoff team. But, even with fans falling out of the stands there in Buffalo, Jets still couldn't focus enough on the field to do what they needed to do.
I'm going to be honest, I'd rather watch the Jacksonville-Houston game than watch this game, without a doubt.
I agree with that. I think, if nothing else, the drama here with Rex Ryan and the incessant camera shots, the Houston-Jacksonville game is going to be a snoozer. This at least will be a close game. I think Baltimore's going to win it 20-17, but I think it's going to be a much more interesting game than Jacksonville-Houston.
This is a game I don't want to go anywhere near this weekend. Unfortunately, since I live in an area where I get New York cable channels, I'm going to be stuck with it part of the time. But I would absolutely, without a doubt, rather watch the Jaguars and the Texans play each other, even if it was the Texans won 2-0. I would rather watch that game than watch this Jets-Baltimore game. They're so bad.
What's the most boring game you've ever watched?
Oof. I don't know.
I nominate the Cardinals-Jets game last year. I think the final score was 3-0 or 6-0 or something, but that had to be the worst game I've ever watched. That was just.
Let's also remember, I watched a lot of Jaguars preseason games, so I'm
well
versed.
Makes you a masochist, but. So who do you like for the Jets this week, if anyone?
Not a lot. Geno Smith, more a second quarterback option. I'll start Chris Ivory and Santonio, don't call me San Antonio Holmes. And I'll start the defense because no one's breaking 21 points in this game. I'd be shocked. I'm not excited for this one.
For Baltimore, Ray Rice looks like he might be back on track. I'd take a chance starting him. Wide receiver Torrey Smith in the defense. Joe Flacco, more of a second quarterback for me. Wide receiver Tandon Doss, the flex. Tight end Dallas Clark's okay. Sit running back Bernard Pierce. Wide receiver Marlon Brown missed last week with a knee injury. It's questionable for this week. Tight end Ed Pitta, custom kicker Justin Tucker. You don't want them on your fantasy squad this week either.
No.
All right. Next up, we've got San Diego at Kansas City. We were talking a little bit before the show about whether we think Kansas City's loss to Denver spells impending doom or not. You seem to be a little bit more optimistic about their future prospects than I am. Kansas City, I don't think, matches up real well with San Diego. I think San Diego is another team that could give Kansas City some trouble. I'm going to pick San Diego to win this in an upset. I'll say San Diego 28, Kansas City 24.
I don't agree.
That's okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinion no matter how wrong they are. That's my motto in life.
Hey, when the Jets and
well
Baltimore's a
years.
Snoozer and Case Keenum's throwing a couple of TDs and you flip over to that Houston game, you can call me and tell me you were wrong. But
yeah,
I think you're
going to
be
feeling
wrong about this, too.
Okay.
So,
tell me why.
Because while San Diego and Phillip Rivers started very strong and they looked like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is our year. Maybe we got it together. It did not last. December came early for San Diego, and then they still have December coming, which means things are going to get worse. But this week, Kansas City is going to rebound. They're at home. Their defense is going to look much better than it did against the Broncos. Phillip Rivers is not Peyton Manning. I think that while San Diego will put up maybe 21 points, Kansas City is going to beat them by a touchdown. And I'm starting Phillip Rivers only as a second quarterback option. I like Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead. I'll even start Keenan Allen and tight end Antonio Gates, but I'm staying away from the defense, the kicker. I don't want any part of it.
Kansas City, I mean, much as I want to like this team, I just can't get behind Alex Smith as their quarterback. I thought it was an improvement coming into the season. It has been an improvement. I mean, I'm nitpicking. If you had told me 10 games into the season the Chiefs would be 9-1, I'd say, wow, that's great. But obviously taking a look at their prospects and thinking, is this really a playoff team or not? And could they do any damage in the playoffs? I just don't really see it. Oh, I think they would have to get a very favorable draw, and something bizarre would have to happen, like Denver losing at New England this week and Kansas City beating them at home and getting the home field and then getting the Jets in a playoff game or something bizarre, universe inside out type of thing like that would have to happen in order for Kansas City to win a playoff game. But we'll see. But I don't know. For Kansas City, Alex Smith, more of a second quarterback for me. Running back Jamaal Charles is worth starting. Wide receiver Dwayne Bowe is worth starting. Wide receivers Donnie Avery and Dexter McCluster are more flex options for me. Kicker Ryan Succop is okay. Defense is okay. And tight ends Anthony Fasano and Sean McGrath, I'll stay away from those two.
Okay. I don't know. I never thought coming into the season that you and I would be on the opposite sides of Kansas City debates where I would be pro-Kansas City. Never thought we'd see that day.
Believe me, I really want to like this team. I just think that it's a house of cards that's about to come collapsing down. Yeah, I don't think they're going to fall apart the way the Cardinals did last year or anything after their 4-0 start, but I just, you know, they're probably going to make the playoffs almost by default at this point. They just have to win probably one more game out of their six remaining games and they're in the playoffs, but I just, yeah, the object, obviously, is to win once you get in the playoffs. To do that, you've got to have home field to do that. They have to win their division, and I don't see it. At best, I think they're hosting a wild card game, but even that, who knows. But so, we'll see what happens there. So should we move on to Chicago at St. Louis?
Yes, we can.
What do you make of this game? St. Louis looks really – they took apart Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, and then you thought, wow. And, of course, they're on a bye last week, so there's no chance to you have to sort of wait to do and see whether Tavon Austin's going to be able to replicate what he did in that game or whether he's going to be on the rookie roller coaster a la Geno Smith. Chicago, it seemed to be muddling through without Jay Cutler. That was impressive how – you know, the weather factor aside last week and how they were able to keep themselves together and come back and beat Baltimore in that game. Yeah, I think the team has a lot of heart. I'm not real impressed with their defense, but they have some offensive weapons. Alshon Jeffery has probably been one of the biggest breakout stars in fantasy this year. Josh McCown, not going to throw for 400 yards, probably not even 300, but he does a serviceable job as a quarterback. I think it all adds up to a Chicago victory. I think they take this. I'll say Chicago 27, St. Louis 23.
I like Chicago by maybe a touchdown, maybe 10 points even. I'm impressed with what Josh McCown's doing. He's come in and been more than just serviceable. Before he wasn't losing any games. Now he's actively helping you win games. Their defense is terrible, but he keeps the offense relevant enough that they can still win. And like you said, last week was kind of crazy. They still managed to keep things together and stay focused, which was impressive. I'm going to start Josh McCown. Even if he's my only quarterback, I'd start him this week. I'm starting Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, and like you said, Alshon Jeffrey is just, he's got to be one of the breakout stars of the year for sure. I'm so happy I drafted him on a lot of fantasy teams. But I don't know. I think this will be a good game to watch. I just think Chicago's going to come out on top.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't have any tornadoes during the game, right? Little stadium there. I just, you think, if you had wind like that at your back, how far could you kick a football?
Yeah, right? Probably forever. Over that mountain.
So, for St. Louis, running back Zach Stacy appears to be healthy this week, so I'll take a chance to start him. Wide receivers Chris Givens and Kayvon Austin. Speaking of backup quarterbacks that are doing a serviceable job, Kellen Clemens,
he has
washed out Jets past and a couple other teams. Yeah, he's doing okay there. He had a rough start, but seems to be settling in. So he's somebody that I think you consider as a second quarterback. Wide receivers Brian Quick and Austin Pettis, flex option. Tight end Jared Cook, flex option. Greg the Leg Zuerlein is okay this week. Start defense is okay. Running back Darrell Richardson started off the year with the job, not anymore, so don't start him. Tight end Lance Kendrick has a hand injury that forced him out of the game a couple weeks ago, and I wouldn't take a chance starting him this week either.
I think this might be the first week all year we've started both Greg the Leg and the Blair Walsh Project in the same week. I like it.
Well, that's because you were commenting. You were picking...
Sure
the
was.
Blair Walsh Project. If I had been picking that side of the game, I don't think I would have started him. No, actually, I take that back. I did. I did. I think I did have him as an okay guy to start the tweet. So I stand corrected. You're right. So
I win.
How about this next game? Carolina at Miami. I know you're a Miami homer, and I know that they got themselves back on track last week. But I don't think it's happening this week. Even though they're at home, I say Carolina. They might have a little bit of a letdown after that New England game, but I still think they're the far better team. I'll say that they win this by a touchdown on the road. I'll take Carolina 24, Miami 17.
I think it might be more like Carolina by 3. I still respect Miami's defense, but there's too much turmoil going on. No matter how much they say, oh, well, it's not going to affect it, it's affecting you. There's media, hundreds of extra media people there in your face all the time. You're going to be distracted. And Carolina is playing on another level right now. They got hot. If they can sustain it, this is not a team I want to see in the playoffs. On Philly Talk Radio this week, they've been talking big about how if the Eagles draw Carolina in the playoffs, that they could beat them. I don't know. But... this week, I don't think Miami's going to be beating Carolina. I like Cam Newton more as a second quarterback option. Like I said, I like the Miami defense a little better than some people do, but I think the run game is where things are going to get going for Carolina. I like D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. I am still going to start Steve Smith and Brandon LaFell. I'm even going to start kicker Graham Gano and the defense. This might be as
for
many Carolina players as I've ever started in the history of the show.
Yeah, well, they're probably better as a team than they've been at any point in the history of the show the last few years. They haven't looked so good. But our first year that we did the show in 2010, they were respectable.
That's true.
Cam Newton was a rookie. I think they finished around 500 or maybe a game or 200, 500. But since then, it's been pretty rough going there. But this year, they're obviously turning things around. For Miami, wide receivers Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline are worth starting. Tight end Charles Clay, maybe not the breakout star that Alshon Jeffrey has been, but certainly one of the best fantasy surprises at tight end this year, which just goes to show you don't have to draft a Rob Gronkowski or a Jimmy Graham in the third or fourth round. You can still wind up with a decent tight end. Ryan Tannehill, more of a second quarterback option for me this week. I don't think I've listed any quarterbacks that I like as a first quarterback this week yet, but we'll get to that. Wide receiver Rishard Matthews has wormed his way into the consciousness the last couple of weeks. Defense is okay. the running back situation still a mess there. 1 week it's Daniel Thomas. The next week it's Lamar Miller. The next week it's none of the above. I say stay away from them. You've got to find a better option somewhere. Kicker Caleb Sturgis, I just don't think Miami scores enough points to get him on the field often enough to have him do anything worthwhile for your team this week. So stay away from him, too.
Yeah, I think you'll have more luck with some of your late and evening kickers than you would with Caleb Sturgis.
So speaking of late and evening games, why don't we get to the first of the afternoon, the late afternoon games in Indianapolis at Arizona. Indianapolis, they really seem to like living life on the edge there. They
Who knew Andrew Luck was such a risk taker?
Yeah, well, he certainly has the fourth quarter comebacks in his resume, but I think his coaches would probably prefer that he played a little bit better the first three quarters of the game so that they're not always coming from behind in the fourth quarter. I think this is another game where they're going to find themselves behind in the fourth quarter. The only difference is here, I'm going to pick against them. I don't know how Arizona does it. I think it's smoke and mirrors, but somehow right now they look like they could be that second wild card team in the NFC at this point. It's possible. Stranger things have happened, but I think the under-the-radar carpet ride, under-the-radar magic carpet ride, if that's possible, continues for them this week. I'll pick Arizona to win this game. I'll say Arizona 27, Indianapolis 24.
I like your score, but I like it reversed. I think Indy's going to pull this one out. Although, spoiler alert, I do think Arizona's going to beat the Eagles next week. But this week, Indy's going to get the best of them. I do like Andrew Luck. I like Donald Brown and Trent Richardson. Absolutely starting T.Y. Hilton. Tight end Cody Fleener's a good start, as well as the defense. I think this will be a fun game to watch, though.
Now, in retrospect, what do you make of that Trent Richardson trade? I was all over Cleveland, like many people were, saying, how could you do that? You're giving up on your season, and
I think Cleveland's offense kind of has overperformed. That team's done a little more than they thought they would after Trent Richardson left.
Well, certainly their running game hasn't. I mean, it's all been their passing game. Their running game is still nothing to be proud of.
No, I don't know if Trent Richardson would have been an X factor that would have made them world beaters.
Yeah,
I don't hate the trade. I just hate the timing of it.
Well, I mean, Indy's got to feel like they've gotten snookered at this point. I mean, Donald Brown was arguably better last week than Trent Richardson was. So, anyway, for Arizona, here's the quarterback I'm going to start. Spoiler alert, I'm going to start quarterback Carson Palmer this week. Wide receivers, Michael Floyd. I know I like to get a little crazy sometimes.
Like to live on the edge.
I do. I'm usually behind and manage to pull it out at the end. But so quarterback Carson Palmer, kind of like the timing of the show. But Carson Palmer, I like wide receivers Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald. I like running backs Rashard Mendenhall and Andre Arrington. Both of those guys, 1 week it's one, the next week it's the other. I think they're both decent flex options, but hopefully you have better options if you're starting two or three running backs. Kicker Jay Feely is okay. Defense is okay. I would not start wide receiver Andre Roberts, and in spite of his big game last week, I wouldn't start tight end Rob Housler this week either.
Yeah, I like Rob Housler. I just don't know if I like him this week.
All right. So next, we've got Tennessee at Oakland, and I really don't know what to make of either of these teams. These teams are both, Oakland seems like they're playing a little bit better than they should. Tennessee seems like they find ways to lose games that they should win. I'll say, just because it's in Oakland, I'll pick Oakland to win this by a field goal 20-17, but if Tennessee wins, it certainly wouldn't surprise me, but this is another game that I don't think I'm going to be watching.
I don't know. I might watch this game, but probably will be distracted with our next game. I think Tennessee's going to pull this one out. Oakland just so inconsistent right now. It's hard for me to envision them winning a game. I think Tennessee, I like Tennessee with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. I just think it works. I think Tennessee's going to win by a touchdown. I'm starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm going to start Chris Johnson. Definitely starting Nate Washington and Kendall Wright, Delanie Walker even as well, and I'm going to start the defense. I'm not feeling Oakland right now.
Well, Matt McGloin was a lot more impressive last week than Ryan Fitzpatrick was, which, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't bad, but when you throw 3 touchdowns in your first NFL start, that's pretty good.
Yes, but I had friends who played with McGloin at Penn State, so I've seen a lot of him, and I don't know if he's the guy I want in a pressure situation. I'm not sure how he's going to fare at home against Tennessee, maybe being down late. I'm a little worried about it.
Well, he did okay against Houston. That was a pretty close game, and he pulled that out. So, I should say kept them ahead. So, for Oakland, Rashad Jennings has been another revelation. You know, for years, he was backing up Maurice Jones-Drew and never really got a chance to shine. And when Jones-Drew was hurt last year, you know, Jennings really didn't do much with the opportunity. So now it makes you wonder, is Oakland's offensive line that good, or is Jacksonville's offensive line that bad, or did Rashad Jennings suddenly take his game to another level this summer? What happened? But it really doesn't matter for our purposes. We just want to know whether you should start Rashad Jennings this week or not, and I say yes. Start wide receiver Denarius Moore. Start the Raiders defense. Matt McGloin or Terrell Pryor, whoever starts, I'm okay with them as the second quarterback this week. Wide receiver Rod Streeter is a flex option. Darren McFadden, this guy just, I think we're going to be talking about him 5-10 years from now, not as an active player, but as somebody that you had a lot of potential, but just unfortunately never was able to really stay healthy for long enough to be the star that he should have been. So he's on the bench for me. Jerron Kreiner, questionable with a shoulder injury, on the bench. Michael Rivera had a nice game last week, but as a tight end, it's too inconsistent for me. And kicker Sebastian Janikowski, I don't think they score enough points to make him worth starting either.
I can agree with that.
So, all right. Let's have it. The next game up, the game that Jana alluded to before that I think both of us are going to be on the edge of our seats for.
The marquee matchup for this week's show.
Yes, the Dallas at the Giants, of course, close game, first game of the season with Dallas holding on for the victory here. I don't know. Dallas has been a mess lately. Giants getting their ass
together. I have a lot of fear going into this game. I'm going to
well
be honest
you should.
With you.
As well you should. I mean, if you told me back when, after that Denver-Dallas game, when those looked like, those might be the two best offenses in football, maybe not the two best defenses, but a lot of things have changed in that time. Denver has figured out how to play defense again. Dallas is apparently struggling on offense and some extent on defense too, but Giants seem to have found their rhythm a little. Again, I'm not real impressed with the Giants. They're beating teams that are either really bad or, missing key players or have had key players injured the week before. But somehow this is the week I think it all comes together for them. Jason Pierre-Paul seems to be healthy again, and I'll pick New York to win this game. I'm going to regret saying this, but I think they're going to win this game rather easily. I'll say New York 27, Dallas 17, and I know them fighting words, so have at it.
I am picking Dallas. Normally, when we fight about this, I'm not picking Dallas. But this week I am, and I'm picking them by 4 points. And I think that Eli Manning is going to lose this game trying to throw it into the end zone to score a touchdown at the end of the game. That is my prediction. I would feel a lot better about this if Sean Lee was not injured. Sean Lee's basically the quarterback of the Cowboys defense, and this is a huge loss. But that being said, I still think that Eli Manning can be flustered and the Cowboys will be able to do that. The offense coming off a bye week hopefully can get their act together. So I'm going to start Tony Romo. I'm going to start DeMarco Murray. I'm going to start Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams. Miles Austin is going to play this week. Who knows what you're going to get out of him. Maybe a flex option, but nothing more than that. I would start tight end Jason Witten. I'm going to start kicker Dan Bailey and the defense.
All right, for the Giants, start Eli Manning, start Andre Brown, start wide receivers Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nick, start the defense. Reuben Randall had a good game last week. He's a flex option for me. Tight end Brandon Myers is okay. Josh Brown, okay. And Brandon Jacobs, he's not much a part of the offense at this point, but even if he were to play, then you don't want him. And he had his one shining moment against Chicago, and I think that's probably going to be the highlight for his Giants season.
The well has run dry.
Yeah. So, can't believe that's all we have to say about that game.
I imagine this is a game we will probably be revisiting at the start of next week's show.
Well, it depends who wins. If Dallas wins, we're going to gloss over it completely. And if the Giants win, then we'll probably talk about that game for 55 minutes in the show and then zip through all 16 games and
just 10
seconds
hits
each.
The picks, of course.
Yes, the quick pick. So, all right. So how about the Sunday night game? This should be an interesting one. Denver at New England, the latest installment of Brady versus Manning. And how do you see this one going? I like Denver, not by a lot, but I think I just think they'll have a little bit too much for New England's defense. If Carolina can put up 23 points against them, I think that Denver could potentially do a lot more damage than that. Yeah, it's a home game for New England, but I still think Denver's shown that they can win at home, on the road, wherever you put them. I'll say Denver wins this 31 to New England 27.
I could probably agree with your score. I like Denver to win this game as well. It's always fun watching Peyton and Tom Brady go against each other. They just seem to play on another level when they play against each other. And granted, Peyton Manning's got two bad ankles and a bad knee. Tom Brady, both his hands are pretty beat up and seem to be twice their normal size.
Although we know from the way he chased after the official at the end of the game that Tom Brady's ankles are not bothering him.
His legs, and it seems like his speaking voice
vocal
probably
cord.
Worked just fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think New England... they're coming off a little bit of a shorter week. They had this controversy. This is what they've been having to think about and talk about all week. I think it's going to have them a little distracted. Peyton Manning's going to come into town, and of course we can't forget Wes Welker, shunned by the Patriots. They, of course, I'm sure aren't happy with some of the things he said since he left, so there's a lot on the line for both these teams here. I just think Denver's got more in the tank. I'm absolutely going to start...
Unfortunately, with that concussion he had, though, looking like
they're saying today that even though he's not practicing, it looks like he's on track to play, crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be leery about it, especially for a fantasy lineup, starting somebody that had a pretty serious concussion. I mean, when I say pretty serious, they're all serious, but I don't know.
I'm going to start Peyton Manning, I'm going to start Knowshon Moreno and Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. I think if Wes Welker looks like he's going to start, I would play him. I think I would be comfortable starting him, not as an only wide receiver, but maybe as a second or third one. I think that he's going to find something inside him to go against his old team. This is a big deal for him, and I think that it'll show on the field. Although it'd be a lot easier to make that pick if, say, you're picking between a Washington or San Francisco receiver or Wes Welker, where you have that cushion. But either way, I like him this week. I like tight end Julius Thomas, kicker Matt Prater, and the defense. I'm excited for this game. I think this will be a good one to watch this week. We'll finally get, a good primetime game.
Yeah, I don't know. Welker, I mean, for his sake, I hope he's healthy and that he doesn't do something stupid and play when he's not healthy and really seeing a serious injury. But, yeah, we'll see. So, what do you make of the Denver backfield, though? The Knowshon Moreno, Monte Ball. Do you think Monte Ball is who would you rather have going forward for your fantasy team, Monte Ball or Knowshon Moreno?
I would be more comfortable with Knowshon Moreno going forward.
Yeah, me too.
It seems a little more stable.
Yeah, I mean, even with the two touchdowns last week, Monte Ball, two touchdowns, Knowshon Moreno got the lion's share of the carries and all, so I don't think he's in any danger of losing his job there. So
no,
I agree
it
with
just
you.
May mean that Monte Ball may be a flex option for you when he may not have been before.
Yeah. So for New England, the only two guys that I'm really hot to start this week would be quarterback Tom Brady and tight end Rob Gronkowski. Running back Stephen Ridley is more of a flex option for me. Wide receivers Danny Amendola, Kendrell Tompkins, and Aaron Dobson are flex options. Kicker Steven Gostkowski is okay. Shane Vereen was back last week but didn't do much. I would not start him. Brandon Bolden was out last week with a knee injury. Wouldn't start him. Wouldn't start with Garrett Swanson. I'd also stay away from the defense because I just don't have any faith in their ability to stop Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it's could be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah. So how about the Monday night game then, the San Francisco at Washington? This, I don't know, San Francisco, for a team that was, you know, this close to winning the Super Bowl, I mean, I guess we can't be too critical because Baltimore has fallen off the cliff or more or less this year, but then again, they pretty much blew up their whole defense. San Francisco didn't do that. They've got almost everybody back, and yet right now they're on the teetering on the edge of mediocrity, and they just don't really look like a good team. I think Washington's going to win this game. They're not very impressive either, but I think right now they have a little bit more offense than San Francisco does. And even though their defense isn't very good, I don't think San Francisco's offense right now is good enough to exploit that. So to me, that all adds up to Washington 31, San Francisco 24.
I think San Francisco's going to win this game. I don't like what I'm seeing out of Washington this week with the little he said, she said with RG3 and his receivers, and let's go to the media, let's go to, you know, talk radio shows and talk about each other without naming names. I don't like that at all. There seems to be some turmoil in the locker room, and that's not going to translate well onto the field, especially with being a Monday night game. They're going to have that extra day of scrutiny and people in their faces, and I don't like it. I don't like it this week. I haven't been super impressed with San Francisco, but I think that they're going to be able to capitalize on this. I'm not worried about them being on the East Coast. It's a night game. This is not even an issue, but I think Colin Kaepernick's more a second quarterback option for me this week. I like Frank Gore and even Kendall Hunter. I'm going to start Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis. I'm going to even start kicker Phil Dawson and the defense. I am not impressed with Washington right now.
Well, I can't say I'm impressed with them, but I just, you know, I'm not impressed with San Francisco either. And yes, they're not airing their dirty laundry in the media and all, but I just have not been impressed. And Colin Kaepernick has looked like a pretty ordinary quarterback, especially from the passing perspective this season. And part of that might be because he's without Michael Crabtree, but still they brought in Anquan Boldin to be that sort of go-to
guy.
And it isn't really working out that way. You know, Frank Gore is having a nice season, but, you know, I'm just not super impressed there. So for Washington, I would start RG3. I would start Alfred Morris at running back. I would start tight end Jordan Reed if he's healthy enough to play, like Wes Welker. He suffered a concussion last week and had to leave the game. Kicker Kai Forbath, I think they'll score a lot of points, so he's a good start in my mind. Wide receivers Leonard Hankerson, Santana Moss, Pierre Garçon, and Josh Morgan, those guys are all flex options for me. Defense is okay to start. And Roy Helu had a nice couple of weeks there, but now it seems like he's fallen back to being the beta dog, and Alfred Morris is getting the lion's share of the carries there, and Robert Griffin running a little bit again. So I just don't see any real place for Roy Helu and your starting lineup this week.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Now, we mentioned the Miami strife and now Washington having their little dirty laundry being aired. Do you take stuff like this when there's big sensational media stories like that? Do you take that into account when you're setting your fantasy lineup? Does that enter into your equation at all or no?
For me, no. I think these guys are all professionals. And, yes, it looks like Miami was distracted in that Tampa Bay game. You know, they definitely looked like they had been through the ringer and weren't focused. But on the other hand, Tampa Bay came and won against Atlanta too, which is not a very good team right now, but they certainly weren't distracted in the same way. So I don't know what's real there. But to answer your question in general, no, I don't. I think these guys are all professionals because, unlike most of us mortal human beings, they're able to block out distractions and focus on things. I mean, if they get burned on one play, they've got to snap right back and focus on the next play. So I think most of that, off-field distraction stuff is just a media creation. And once the game starts, I think most of the time the better team wins, or the team that doesn't make mistakes. I don't think the Washington or the Miami situations are going to play much of a role this week. I think Washington's going to win because I think they're a better team right now than San Francisco, and I think Miami's going to lose because I just don't think they're a very good team, period.
Yeah, I tend to think that it affects players a little more than you do. It's an emotional game. You have to have some emotion in the game to really tap in and find that extra gear and win. And I think that sometimes these outside things can get blown up, and having that, being under that kind of stress and pressure and emotion can bring out things that maybe you weren't, you didn't anticipate coming out, and you thought you were mentally stronger than them. But I think they can still have an effect whether or not they realize it.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, it'll be interesting to see whether the whole circuits with Rex Ryan and now Ed Reed returning to Baltimore this week has any impact on the Jets or not. I don't think it will. I just think Baltimore is still a slightly better team, even though the record doesn't indicate it right now, than the Jets are.
Yeah.
So I would expect Baltimore to win that game. But then again, if the Jets play the way they did against New Orleans and the way they did against New England, they have a good shot at winning that game. So I think it just all depends. They have a team with a rookie quarterback, and they're prone to inconsistency, and I think that's why the Jets are as up and down as they are, not because of the media circus, although I'm sure that doesn't help. Actually, you know what, thinking about it back on it, last year with Tebow and all, I think that was a case where probably the media did contribute to the distraction, but there I blame the coach more, because I think the coaching staff and the GM let that happen, and just, the whole thing, and just the way Rex Ryan kept, implying to Tim Tebow that, you're our guy if anything happens to Sanchez. And then when something did happen to him, it was Greg McElroy that got into the game. He sort of brought that upon himself then. So I think there maybe that's the case of where, the off-field stuff and the media did contribute to the team's downfall. But I still think that the Lions' share of the credit or the blame there belongs with the coaching staff rather than the players.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting interesting way to look at it, for sure.
Yeah. So here's a question for you. A lot of fantasy teams or fantasy leagues are winding up, the regular season either this week or next week. If you if you already clinched a playoff spot, which you should be so lucky if you're in a fantasy league to already have clinched a spot with several weeks left, but would you be looking ahead to playoff matchups, or are you more somebody that just starts your stars no matter what?
I try to still – I kind of look at it more as a week-to-week thing. You can look a little bit in advance and maybe try to look and see if my last wide receiver, someone down the stretch, going to maybe have a better matchup. I might do small things like that, but overall I tend to keep my team pretty similar to what it looks like that got me in there. And it's so hard to look at matchups. You can look at the on-the-field matchups, but I like to play versus the matchup of who I'm playing that week as well and take that into consideration. So for me, it's more I look at the single week versus the down the road. What about you?
Yeah, there are not too many times, no matter who you are, when your team is locked up a playoff spot with several weeks and you can afford to look down the road for too far, it would be a nice problem to have. But assuming that you had that luxury, I think I would definitely do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with cutting or trading, a guy, even if he's a superstar that, has a lousy set of matchups in the playoff week. I'd rather win with Scott Tolzien starting for my playoff week because he has a good matchup, rather than lose because Cam Newton or Peyton Manning has a rough matchup in a given week. So
I always think the stars are going to play like stars even with a bad matchup. I don't know.
But I mean, even Peyton Manning last week, it was really the running game that scored most of the fantasy points there, you know, rather than, I mean, he racked up okay yardage, but, you know, touchdown-wise, you know, he didn't do much. So, yeah, I think it all depends. But anyway, it sounds like we're at the end of the rope, or excuse me, the end of the show. We might be at the end of our rope, but at the end of the show for this week. So,
but don't,
anyway.
Don't worry, folks. We'll be back next week on Wednesday night from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week. And
discuss
you can
the
find
Giants'
us-
victory over the evil Cowboys.
It's a nice alternate reality you live in, but the rest of us in the real world will be back talking about the Cowboys' victory. And you, of course, can have your voice heard all week long, even when we're not live on the air. And you can find us at fantasyfootballsherpa.com, on the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page on Facebook, on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, and, of course, at fantasy_Sherpa and JKIM16. You can also email us at the number 4THNInchesShow@gmail.com. And if you missed any episodes or you just really missed hearing our voice, you can always find the archives, of course, on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I recommend the 2010 shows. Those are particularly good if you want to listen to forecasts for games that are 3 years old.
Hey, you know, some of them could be right. You never know.
I'll go back and change some of them. So have a great week, everybody, and thanks for the show, Janet.